Ladies and gentlemen, we take great pleasure in presenting in dramatic form another of the stories especially selected for us by Edwin Balmer, the distinguished editor of Red Book Magazine. We are pleased to announce that the publishers of Red Book Magazine have given us special permission to broadcast these stories. We're going to ask Mr. Balmer to tell you something about Nina Wilcox Putnam, the author of today's story, Anything You Want Is Yours. Mr. Balmer.
Thank you, Mr. Clemenger. Nina Wilcox Putnam is one of the cleverest of our popular writers. She has an unusual ability to absorb a story from people with whom she is in contact. Acquaintances naturally tell her an interesting and amusing event, and she has an eye and a feeling for character which enables her to make the story, when she writes it, lively and vivid. Recently, she has been in Hollywood, where things are changing rapidly, and where some incident suggested to her the story, Anything You Want Is Yours, which is about to be presented to you.
Thank you, Mr. Balmer. Now for the story. The way Miss Putnam wrote it, it was told in the first person by Hulda Sobold, the chief character. So we're going to introduce you to the charming Miss Sobold and let her do the rest. Here she is.
Oh, thank you, Clem. Well, you see, when I left St. Louis, I had a one-way ticket for Hollywood and a copy of Screen News containing the latest picture of Grant Whittier and a platinum blonde wash on my genuine Swedish blonde hair and an introduction to Mr. Metzinger. You see, he used to be in the old clothes business in East St. Louis before he got to be a picture magnate. Well, after I'd parked my suitcase in little old Hollywood, I didn't waste any time in getting to that colossal studio. But did I have trouble in getting into Mr. Metzinger? I'll say. But at last I managed to get into his secretary's office. He fixed me with kind of a fishy stare, and then he said...
Mr. Metzinger is in conference. My name's Fillmore.
Well, my father's an old friend of Mr. Metzinger's, and here's a letter to prove it. See, it starts, Dear Ike.
Very well. In through that door there. Mr. Metzinger will see you at once.
Oh, gee, thank you so much, Mr. Fillmore.
Don't mention it. Hello, Fillmore speaking. Grant Whittier's raving around. All right, let him come to me. What's he want now? Hello, Fillmore speaking. I told you that production was not to run over $500,000. Well, cut the extras pay then. Cut it to $5 a day. Yes. Metzinger's orders.
Fillmore, what's this I hear?
Oh, sit down, Whittier.
For years I've been trying to do a good picture around here, and they keep putting me off with promises.
You're referring to the action the board took about The Merchant of Venice?
You know right well that's what I mean. Only last week they approved of the adaptation made by Benny Katz and Al Schumacher, and now they shelve it.
Sorry, Whittier. Those are the orders.
All I get is a bunch of truck to direct. I'm going to seed around here, I tell you.
Well, I'll send Mr. Metzinger a memo that you still want to do The Merchant.
The Katz and Schumacher adaptation.
Yes, yes, I'll take care of it. Oh, come right in, Miss Sobold.
Hello.
Don't forget about that, Fillmore.
No, I won't. Did you have a satisfactory interview, Miss Sobold?
Say, who was that just went out? Was it Grant Whittier? Was it?
Yes, our most famous director.
Oh, I wanted to work for him for so long. And now maybe I'll work for him in a picture.
You saw Mr. Metzinger?
Yeah, he says you're to call the casting director right away so I can meet him and so I can tell him what parts I can play.
So you're an actress. What have you done?
I played Portia in our high school dramatic society.
Miss Sobold, I'm going to give you a piece of advice you won't thank me for. Go home.
But Mr. Metzinger said that I was to see the casting director. Oh, and I know what I can do with a part.
All right. Have it your own way. I've done my duty. Now, what did you say your telephone number was?
Here it is. It's written on a card. Oh, and here's a picture of me as Portia.
Cute. Well, I'll put him in the file.
Well, aren't you going to... call the casting director?
He's gone for the day. I'll call you up and make you an appointment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Fillmore. Gee, I'll prove my worth. You see, I've studied pictures, not as a foolish fan, but really seriously. And I have an ambition to play in a picture directed by Grant Whittier. On my way to my room, I passed 16 platinum blondes, and all of them were good-looking. Well, I hung around home a couple of days, waiting for a call from the studio that never came. Then I picked up a newspaper and saw the headlines. Bankers make clean sweep at Colossal. Metzinger definitely out. Complete reorganization promised. Just imagine if they hadn't said one word to me about it. Well, I can tell you I was boiling mad, and when I reached Colossal, the sour-faced desk sergeant said...
Mr. Metzinger is no longer with us.
Well, then is his secretary, Mr. Fillmore, in?
He is in conference.
Well, tell his conference to go sit on somebody else's knees. Tell him to clear out. I have to talk to him.
Mr. Fillmore is in conference.
But, well, there he is. I see him. Oh, Mr. Fillmore. Mr. Fillmore.
Ah, here's my little friend. How are you, darling?
Oh, I hear Mr. Metzinger is out. I don't know what to do. You're not out, too, are you, Mr. Fillmore? And the casting director isn't changed, is he? You know, you promised me an
appointment. Listen, forget that. That's ancient history now, darling. And I've got big news for you.
Big news? For me?
Yes. I've left Metzinger, and I'm going to try independent production. Believe me, little girl, I'll use you.
Oh, you will.
Now, what's your name and your telephone number? I want them handy.
Well, I called up Colossal 4 days later. Oh, Mr. Fillmore's gone, says the operator cheerfully. Left yesterday for Africa to direct an educational picture. And be gone 2 years. Well, that woke me up. Believe me, I never wanted to hear the word pictures again. So, you know what I did? I went out and got a job as a chambermaid at a big apartment hotel. But I hadn't been there 2 hours before I found out that one of the apartments I had to clean belonged to Grant Whittier. Gee, I wanted to turn and run. I couldn't bear to have the man I'd idolized for years see me as a servant. I didn't know what to do, but I had to keep the job, of course. So I skinned my hair back and made myself look as ugly as I could. If he'd noticed me, all he'd see would be a dumb Swedish servant girl. Well, I didn't run into him until one morning, several days later. I was scrubbing the floor as he opened the door. And just then the telephone started to ring.
Now, take your time. I'm coming. Hello. Oh, that you, Ed? Yeah, Gruensberg. You know, the bird that got Metzinger's job? Well, he put me on the spot. Not going to sign me on again. 3 highbrow flops. Next picture would be my last. The merchant's out. Yeah, and what story do you think they've given me to do? The sob parade. The original written by Max, the office boy. It's an insult to my intelligence, Ed, and I'm going to get square with that ex-plumber, Gruensberg. Yes, I can, too. Fix them good and plenty. Boy, you're going to see something. I'll be seeing you this evening, Ed. So long. Hey, you. Say, I'm speaking to you, whatever your name is.
Gentlemen.
Get up. Turn around.
Why, what been wrong?
The entire motion picture industry.
Yeah?
Turn around, please. Not a bad figure. And a natural Swedish towhead that could be rechristened platinum.
I think I've been going now.
No, you don't. You're going to listen to me, so try to get those slow wits together. You want to go into the movies?
No.
What? You don't want to go be a great actress, a star?
No, I'd rather do housework.
Well, you're not as dumb as you look. You're dumber. Can you act?
Act? How?
Glorious. You can't act. Just a mysterious-looking, sad Swede with nothing behind the mystery. You're perfect, why? Even your legs are swell.
Gentlemen don't talk so.
Listen, I make pictures, see? I tell my boss this morning that Carlotta Carlson is in town. There is no Carlotta Carlson, but I tell him she's the greatest picture star of Europe. He says I must get it a signed contract. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Well, you're Carlotta Carlson from now on. You're it.
No, I go now.
Stop, come here a minute, wait.
Darling, don't go back on me.
You're going to star in my new picture. These people ask for tripe and they're going to get it and like it.
I don't like stop housework.
Listen, if you don't sign this contract, I'll get you fired from this job. You don't want to be without any work in times like these.
No.
Then sign this contract. It's for more money than you've ever seen before.
But I...
Remember, I'll get you fired if you don't sign.
Oh, I sign, mister. I knew I was a fool, but then what else could I do? Well, Grant Whittier took me shopping, and he bought me all the expensive clothes in Hollywood. You know, the whole Colossal studio fell over on itself when I got out there. And did I get temperamental? You know, when Gruenberg just asked me how I liked Hollywood, I said, I think it's bad. I don't like it.
Well, we'll change all that. We make it so you like it, Miss Carlson. What you like. Anything you want is yours.
Well, I would like 2 Great Danes sent to my dressing room at once.
Hello. Hello, give me Schumacher.
And I must have a string orchestra to wake me every morning.
Get Goldberg on the other phone.
It must play while I wash.
Hello, Schumacher. Get busy right away and send down a couple of Great Danes. Good, big ones. No, no dogs. No women. I want them in 5 minutes. Hello, Goldberg. Have a string orchestra ready to wake Miss Carlson tomorrow morning. No, not small, you dummer. 16 pieces. And play outside the bathroom while she's washing.
Yes,
Ah, the gentleman from the...
No, I'll take him away. No interviews. I give no interviews, no.
You got to go, boys.
No,
you got to go.
You said
see how
much you are. Take him away. Do you hear? I won't see them. Get out. Get out. Every one of you.
Go out, boys.
You hear? You get out. You leave me alone. Well, that's what got Grand Whittier sore at me. He wanted publicity for his picture. Honest, you know, I'd fallen hard for him. And I knew I had to do something to bring back his interest in me. Well, my chance came when I was left alone in the studio to read the script of the picture I was to do, The Sob Parade. Then I had a bright idea. I'd show them some real sobs.
Oh, no. Oh, Miss Carlson. Somebody do something. Do something. And Miss Carlson is home. Keep quiet. Say, Miss Carlson, can I do something? Tell me. Tell me, please, I ask you. What's the trouble, Miss Carlson? What do you want? Name it. Please, name it, please.
Story, that horrible sob parade. I won't do him. I hate him.
It's the story. She don't like it.
The story.
Well, what's the matter with you? What are you all standing around for like a lot of dumbbells? Get another story. Get it quick. What kind of a story would you like, eh? Name your style of story, Miss Carlson. We'll have our writers do it right away.
Oh, something new and original.
There. Haven't I been telling you all? Something original. That's what this studio needs. Get an original right away.
Oh, I don't want an original. I want something original. An adaptation.
An adaptation. Get an adaptation. Have we got adaptations?
Yes, the Merchant of Venice.
No, that's it. I want the Merchant of Venice.
Get the Merchant of Venice, get Katz, get Schumacher.
Oh, get them tomorrow. I think I used to rest today. Oh, but I must do the Merchant of Venice. Yeah, I do that picture.
Aye, Miss Carlson, that is fine. You do just what you wish. You rest today.
Yeah.
Now get out of here, all of you. Get out. We fix everything just as you want it should be.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Grunsberg.
Now I go, too.
Yeah, I think I rest, too. Come in. Oh, Mr. Vitya.
Hey, what's all this about you're doing the Merchant of Venice?
I do it. I do not like the sob parade.
But why did you choose the merchant? How did you get away with it?
My contracts say I can choose my own story. I write that in contracts and nobody is looking. Up in your flat.
Oh, cut the kidding. Quit all that and tell me who you really are.
Stop it. You're hurting my arm. Oh, please let me go.
Answer my question.
Well, you see, I knew you'd been wanting to do this story, and I've played Porsche already, and I love the part.
Kid, you're clever. That slavey makeup was a wow. It fooled me plenty.
Yeah, I think it did.
Hey, look here. Can we really get away with this production, do you think?
Of course. We're going to make a real picture. One that'll knock 'em cold.
Yes, and exactly as written for a change. Oh. Hello. No, you can't speak to her just now. Don't ring this phone for an hour. We're in conference. You've heard about these motion picture conferences, haven't you, Halbert?
You bet I have.
Well, we're going into one right now.
Oh, Grant.
This story, Anything You Want Is Yours, by Nina Wilcox Putnam, was broadcast by special permission of the publishers of Red Book Magazine. We take great pleasure in announcing that next week at this same time, we will present another story in dramatic form from Red Book.